Skins are down for, who cares? Hockey back hit.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. How's everybody doing out there? Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We got a big show today. We got our buddy Brendan Sheridan from CapsHill.com, who was actually at the Winter Classic press conference, calling in a little bit later. We're going to Skype in with him as well. So let's just kind of talk about the Caps, how they're doing right now. Already a couple preseason games underneath their belt. I don't know about you. It's good to have hockey back on TV again. But I only got to see the first game. Again, this is preseason hockey, so it's really, scores don't really matter. It's seeing what young guys can do. Two big names coming out of that first game, Andrei Burakovsky and Nathan Walker. Nathan Walker impressed like he did last year. What a hip check from that guy in the first game. One of the highlights of the game. And then, of course, Andrei Burakovsky getting the goal. I guess it was in the first period. Really showing what he can do. He's going to make Trotz's job, I think, a little bit more difficult.
Talking about Burakovsky or Walker? You want Walker to work so badly.
I do. I want a Walker jersey. That's all I want. I want a Walker jersey to wear on Sunday nights while I'm watching Rick Grimes and the Grimes crew on The Walking Dead.
The Grimes crew. I like that. The thing is, like,
Hold on, sorry about that. That was terrible. It's not the Grimes crew. It's the Grimes gang. It's right there in front of me. Sorry.
Oh, whatever. Okay, but, like, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you could, back in the day on the website, you used to be able to go in the shop and get, like, could you get custom the jerseys, as you call them? I didn't get custom jerseys. I don't know if they had the t-shirts, but I remember they used to have it where you do, like, the custom sweatshirts and you can get someone's, like, name.
Nice.
And a friend of mine has his name and number on the back of a Capitals custom sweatshirt. It's actually pretty cool, so. Yeah, you know, it's a possibility if you want to get Walkers, even though he may not end up actually playing for the Capitals outside of a...
I highly doubt he'll be here full-time, at least this season. He'll be down in Hershey, but there's a chance we'll see him come up every once in a while.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he has, he goes into Hershey and ends up playing really well over the first, little while, and somebody goes down with an injury or someone's just not working out, that he gets a call-up. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. If he goes down, he's got to play well down in Hershey, and if he can do that, then he's definitely going to get that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be his second year in Hershey, you know, even though he's somewhat a rookie and just came through the draft this year. You got to remember, he still was a Hershey Bear all of last season. So he's got he knows that rink pretty well. He knows that team pretty well. And really, I mean, he's fighting for a spot on the Capitals, but he's definitely making a name for himself. So we'll see if he makes it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came up for at least a game or two and, as you might put it, get a cup of coffee and then head back down to Hershey. But let's talk about Burakovsky. So the big thing right now is that you got second line center. You got that position kind of up in the air. You've got Marcus Johansson. You've got Yevgeny Kuznetsov, and now you got Andrei Burakovsky, who's kind of throwing his name into the ring. He's really making a name for himself. He's really looking good this preseason.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with those three guys the second line center spot. I think if I'm trying to get into the mind of Trotz, which I don't think it's going to be possible, but my guess is that he's sort of hoping Kuznetsov takes that spot. But I think if I read an article correctly today, it's that Burakovsky actually has the best centering percentage, faceoff percentage, I should say, of those three guys. And I think Kuznetsov is playing very well and has everything put on the wing. And I think that Trotz likes that all three of these guys can play the center spot and they can play on the wings. I don't think you're going to see all three of these guys on that line together. And I think, honestly, at the moment, Burakovsky may be the guy on the outside looking in just because he hasn't really shown anything at the NHL level in a regular season game just yet. However, he did score that goal in the game against the Sabres, so that was nice. He got the only goal in that game, which is kind of lame. It ended up being 1-0. But, he got his goal, and that was awesome. He was very excited, I could tell. And I thought the other guys that were out there looked good, and it's You know, it's tough to see right now because you have these guys going out there and they're playing, but are they playing against real NHL talent or are they playing against guys that are going to be in the AHL? And so it's tough to see. I think after we get our first round of cuts, whenever that might be, we see how these guys do. Then, you know, other teams make some cuts and then you'll see if they really have an opportunity to play against someone that's going to be playing in the NHL, and then we'll see how they do. And I think that's when Trotz is going to start putting his ideas for his lines together. And I think he's already got some ideas of who he wants together and how those things are going to work out. We still don't know exactly who's going to play on the first line, right? Wing spot with Ovechkin going back on the left. So there's definitely a lot of questions going in, but if I had to make a guess, I think it'd be fun to see Burakovsky. It's important that someone to go out there, be able to win faceoffs. You know, you want to have a guy come out there and put you in a good position to win, especially if you're in the offensive zone. You really want to win that faceoff. You know, you throw Ovechkin out there as to the left and let him just take a shot after every faceoff they have. That seems to be his bread and butter, as they say. So it's going to be interesting to see who they decide to go with in the second line center spot. But my guess is in the end, it's going to go with Kuznetsov.
That's who I think has really shown a lot before the training camp and preseason is Yevgeny Kuznetsov. So we'll see what happens, where these guys land. I think Trotz is getting closer to what his lines are going to be, but just like a lot of these rookies right now, he's a newbie in Washington, so he's still got to get used to some of these guys. He may not know certain players as much as you would hope he would know them, but from what I understand, you know, he's a big fan of Michael Latta, and how can you not be? The dude's really good at playing hockey. What he does, he's very good at it. Like we said, Andrei Burakovsky, but there's some other guys that, of course, aren't going to make this team. You got Madison Bowie and other players like that we're going to see come up in a few years. But right now it's very interesting with the preseason game because you're seeing all these young guys and a lot of the veterans aren't even traveling with the team. You know, Alex Ovechkin hasn't been on any of this road trip at all. And he's been working the Winter Classic presser and he's been playing FIFA if you've seen him on Instagram. So this is definitely not the team you're going to see on October 9th as the opener team. But we're building towards those empty holes, and I feel as if they did a good job patching up some of those holes over the summer by bringing in a few veteran guys, but now it's really going to see what rookies are really going to be able to make this roster, and we'll see where they land. And you got to think about like a guy like Tom Wilson, who's missing this very first training camp with Barry Trotz, that he's really missing out on his opportunity to show what he's made of, because if you look at his year last year, it really wasn't anything to write home about.
Well, Wilson had some things to use words you said to write home about. I think he played well last season in one aspect of his game. I think he was solid enough defensively, and he brings that physical play, which is good for him. He's got, like I think we talked about last week, he's got to show more offensively. He's got to start putting the puck in the net. But I think with the way the roster is right now, I don't see him playing anywhere outside of the fourth line. So I don't know if Trotz is gonna get him more fourth line minutes. I know McClellan. He came out during his introductory press conference or somewhere right after he was hired as the GM that he said that he didn't agree with the way that Wilson was used last year. He would have put him out there with more minutes or a higher line or something like that. And so, you know, to some extent, he was almost wasted last season in the fact that, I mean, he got the good experience and that's good, but his offensive numbers were definitely not where they needed to be. And that's something he's definitely going to have to show this season. And the fact that he's missing training camp is a big deal. I don't think that necessarily hurts his spot on this team. I don't think anybody that's on this roster is going to come in and take that from him when he's healthy. I definitely think that he has a spot. It's just a matter of when is he going to be healthy? At one point, is he going to be ready to play? And it gives a couple of guys like Alotta or Chris Brown or even Jay Beagle an opportunity to cement a spot and make them think about, you know, putting someone else up in the press box or down in Hershey instead of them.
Well, here's something I want to ask you. If Tom Wilson comes in and he missed training camp, we see him in the regular season, he does get those fourth line minutes, do you think Barry Trotz is going to put him on maybe like a second line, or even could he be that guy you kind of see paired up and being on the first line, kind of up against the net, you know, blocking the goalie and making trying to make plays so Ovechkin and Backstrom can score what they can?
I don't think right away. I mean, I could see in the future, you know, maybe you have him in that sort of Knubel mold of someone who can go in there and just park his butt in front of the goalie and create havoc in the lane and, you know, cause problems. But I don't think he's that guy yet. I don't think they're going to throw him there right away just because he hasn't shown anything offensively to have that opportunity. And so I think, yeah, you could bump him onto the second line, but the problem is, you know, if he takes one of those, the first line or second line spot, who gets bumped out? Mm-hmm. You know, I think right now, you know, listen, the right wings, and this isn't official in any way, obviously, but the right wing spots are sort of, it would be interesting to see who they're going to go with, because you have Brower and, you know, are they going to bump Brower back? Do you bump someone? Is Lycan going to play on the right or the left? Do you bump him back? Joel Ward, you know, where is he going to play? And then you got to put Johansson somewhere. Kuznetsov, if they like Burakovsky, he's got to be somewhere. So it's tough to say exactly where Tom Wilson's going to play, just because right now, sort of the way the numbers are, it looks like he's going to end up on the fourth line.
Yeah, he's kind of like the odd man out at this point, just because he is missing.
He really is.
Yeah.
It's not just because he's missing camp. It's just his experience. Not to mention, it's his experience and the lack of numbers offensively hurt his opportunities as to where he's necessarily going to play.
Is there anybody else in this rookie class or this Hershey Bears class right now that has really impressed you that we haven't talked about yet?
No. No, I mean, okay, so the Phoenix Copley kid, from when I saw him, he looked pretty good. You know, there's a lot of the young guys are playing well, but they're playing against potentially other guys that are also young. If you go and you look at Copley, he got embarrassed almost by, as I understand, by Char in the game against Boston, where they lost 2-0, and it was a little concerning to see that he couldn't score a goal in that game, but it's also not the end of the world. You know, it's nice to see a lot of the young guys are stepping up, and that's just kind of what you want to see, because you need these guys to be ready when it comes down to an injury or a guy's just not playing well and needs a night off and to get sort of a kick in the butt and wake him up. You know, so you need these guys that are going to be coming and be ready, whether it's a Connor Carrick or a Stan Khalif, if he can prove himself finally, or just any one of these guys has got to come out and show that they're ready to play.
Yeah, so very interesting to see. That's what these preseason games are for, to really see what these guys can do. And then if they don't make it to the Caps team right away, that's okay. They get to be Hershey Bears, and that's a great system down in the AHL. And that'll be fun for a road trip to go up to Hershey and see these guys play. So anything else we should talk about before we hop on the line with Brendan?
I remember reading an article. Oh, I'm totally blanking on who it was by at the moment, but it was regarding the defensive coach, I believe Todd Reirden, and the fact that he's not, I don't want to say friends, but like he likes John Erskine, because I guess they played together years ago during the first lockout of our sort of memory. And so it's interesting to see who's going to end up as a sort of that seventh and eighth, if they decide to go with eight defensemen, as to whether it's going to be, is it Erskine and Hillen, which is a lot of money sort of sitting up in the press box, or they decide to get rid of one or two of those guys and go with, you know, Steve Alexi, or I've been hearing good things about Tyler Lewington. Apparently the coaching staff really like him. So it's, you know, some interesting things to look at going into, just going, well, we have like a week and a half to go until the NHL season. Is it a week, 2 weeks? So the season starts, when's the first
game? It's 2 weeks,
October 9th? Read that wrong.
October 9th, Thursday, October 9th is when the Caps home opener is.
Okay, yeah. So that's not that long from now.
No, not at all.
That's two weeks from today.
Pretty cool.
Oh. So yeah, I mean, they still have time to make decisions, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to decide. I want to see who their first big cuts are. I mean, a lot of them are going to be obvious, and names you're like, well, duh. But then there's going to be guys you're like, huh. Okay, it's gonna be interesting. Like, guys are gonna be sticking around. Now, it could be a couple of guys that I know. Like in the past, Chris Bork got to hang around till the end. Didn't Stan Gleave 1 year got to hang around till the end of training camp? You know he was gonna get sent down, but they wanted to see how he did against these higher talented guys. And
a couple years ago, it was up to three guys, and Matthew Perreault was one of those final guys that they were like, is he going to be who we think he can be? I remember that, where there was a lot of concern around Caps fans because he's kind of been a favorite of whether or not he's going to be a full-time Capital this upcoming season or not. And it took him all the way to the very last day of training camp, but he eventually made the team full-time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they decide to keep around going into the last week of training camp preseason. And, you know, the biggest thing right now is to sort of get these guys, get some chemistry going with these lines, make sure these guys are getting ready. And I think Trotz is definitely doing a great job right now, because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of questions, but it's not questions regarding people's behavior or like how prepared they are. It's more questions regarding just how are they going to line up, which I'm okay with. What they've done in the past wasn't working with the lineups they had. So if Trotz sees something different, he sees an opportunity to go a different way regarding this team, I'm okay with that.
What do you think of Trotz's training camp style so far? Because I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures of guys like Ovechkin, but apparently they're skating and they're being like kind of run ragged.
Oh, they're tired.
Yeah.
I don't care. Man up. No, I think it's good. You want these guys to be ready. what's the line? The legs feed the wolf. You got to be ready to go. You got to be hustling. You got to be because every game, because it comes down to the end of the season, you know, when you're playing in the playoffs, you know, you can't be, oh, I was tired. That's not good enough. The other teams aren't tired. They're ready to go. So you got to be too.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see, because if you remember last year, kind of, I think this is when everybody knew this season was over, and it was pretty much Ovechkin gave up on the play, and I forget what team he was up against, but the guy just skated right around him and was able to skate in there, make a play, and get a goal. And Adam Oates called him out on it to the press, saying, you know, he gave up on this play. So I'm interested to see how this kind of Barry Trotz way of doing things is going to affect Alex Ovechkin and the rest of the team, because obviously, like, they were not interested in playing a full game on some nights last season or the year before. It seems as if they don't play a full game this time around, Barry Trotz is going to have them, you know, skating up and down the ice a couple times the next day.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. He's, you know, someone's, no matter who they are, if someone's not playing their best, he's going to go after him.
So, so that'll be good. I guess this is a good time to take a break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to be talking with Brendan Sheridan from CapsHill.com. And since we're talking to him, let's cut to a quick Caps Hill promo. And we'll be right back on What the Puck.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
All right, welcome back to What the Puck. Joining us via Skype from CapsHill.com, we got Brendan Sheridan. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. Coach Dan's always good, except he is watching.
I'm around here somewhere.
He's watching some of the Redskins games, so he's not doing
the greatest. I don't have a TV up here.
So you were at the big Winter Classic press conference. Just tell us, what was the atmosphere like? Have you ever seen that many white dudes in suits before?
I have at a board meeting, but that was, not of that caliber. There was definitely a lot of NHL brass, mm-hmm. as well as, MLB brass. It was quite an experience to be at. I will be honest with you. With the magnitude of the announcement coming out of it, it was really kind of cool to be, you know, within, shouting distance of Bettman, which could have been good or bad, but,
right.
I kept my composure, but yeah, it was a really cool event.
Oh, very nice. So you, of course, on CapsHill.com, you did a mock-up of what Nationals Park would look like with a rink on the field. You being there in person, of course, it was a little bit warmer than it might be in January, but do you feel as if what you came up with like a year ago is going to kind of match what we're going to see there on New Year's Day?
Yeah, I do. I honestly mocked that up after the Flyers Winter Classic from a while ago. The stages out in left field and right field, mm-hmm. were where the Roots played and where, you know, the musical acts played. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that again. Of course, they're not going to do something gimmicky like a volleyball court or a monster truck demolition zone.
Don't give them the
which
ideas.
They totally should do. Yeah. But, I think they're going to definitely utilize the space. They are definitely having the stage set to be very patriotic, kind of themed, mm-hmm. Winter Classic. And I really hope they stay true to kind of the musical acts of D.C. and of really what D.C. is all about, which I don't think would be Wale. I would think it would be Foo Fighters, just
Ooh.
To throw that in there.
Oh, nice.
That'd be cool.
But I don't know. We've seen the NHL and their music taste kind of go out to left field a little bit. Not to, you know, pardon the pun. but I think in terms of the event being at Nats Park, it wouldn't have been better at any other place. And sorry to say, even Camden Yards. I don't know if that would have been the best place. But
right.
That'll be for another podcast. Or that was. Another podcast before, but in terms of the mock-up, I really think that's going to be what we're going to be expecting to see come January 1st.
All right, very cool. Yeah, you know me, I'm a Baltimore boy, so of course I want to see Camden Yards, but maybe one day when, you know, Baltimore actually gets a hockey team, but
well, like a state, if they have one of those stadium series things again, to sort of water down the whole Winter Classic in general. If they have one of those, I wouldn't be surprised if they had one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyway,
absolutely.
Nats Field, that'll be my first time at Nats Park. So I'm excited to see a hockey game outdoors in D.C. You know, just what a great background and what a great story it is to have it in D.C. Maybe not as good of a story of, you know, the rivalry, because I don't really think there is a big rivalry of the Capitals and Blackhawks. But still two great teams that are going to come together on January 1st. So I'm excited for that.
Just sort of being, when you're at Nats Park and saying, what would you expect to be the best section to sort of both in price and sort of visibility? What would be the best places to be able to watch this game? Because I'm curious as to how great, if they're even going to open up, what is it called, the Red Porch area out at Nats Park and that whole section, if that would be, you know, you're going to be too far away. How many fans are going to be expected and need to bring binoculars to be able to see all the action on the ice?
So, great question. I was able to get firsthand kind of knowledge, as you saw, from the constant pictures I was tweeting out progressively, as I was saying, getting drenched as if I was running a marathon in wool pants and in a blazer and all that. But I would say that the Red Porch would be open according to the Caps official document that shows kind of the price range and the different pricings of sections. It looks like Red Porch is right there in the $119 range, or $119 range. I would honestly, if I were to go anywhere in the park, I would stick to the upper levels, 200 sections, or even in the 100 sections towards the top of the section. Reason being, you don't have a clear board for hockey, so not being able to see the puck is going to be, for me, a bit of an issue. And they actually price everything kind of accordingly to that. You'll notice that the higher priced seats, like upwards of $350, are going to be in your optimal 200 section. But if I were to say bang for the buck, I would go with the outfield. Typically where it would be the 106, 105, 104, kind of wrapping around from the visitor bullpen over to the Nats bullpen, kind of that area. It's $119. You're at the event, and you're still getting a pretty good vantage point of the ice.
Very cool. And even though the Caps put out the seating chart and the prices and everything, I like the fact that you actually went around and you tweeted what the actual a picture of the actual view of what the rink's going to look like. So that's really cool. So check it out. It's capshill.com, of course, is where you can check that out. And if you are wondering where you're going to sit, that really was a great way of figuring out, because a guy like me who's never been to Nats Park before would like to know, you know, what section should I look for. So, as just somebody who's never been there before but loves the Caps, man, thanks for sweating that day and checking out for
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah, I took a picture, tweeted it out, and I was like, oh, crap, I have like about an hour to kill. I don't want to sit in front of a stage where no one's actually really doing anything. So I just decided to do a lap around the stadium. Why not? Around the park.
It's good exercise.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So before we get to the big news about the Winter Classic jerseys, sweaters, whatever you want to call them, let's talk real quick about Epics being the provider of the 24/7 type of program that they're going to do. Coach, let me ask you, since you and I went to school for TV, video, that kind of stuff, what's your take on this? Do you think they should have stayed with HBO?
I mean, personally, yes, I think so, just because I think you have a broader audience for one thing, and then also I really like what HBO does, not just having Liev Schreiber narrating it, but having the way they do the whole thing, I think is awesome. So I would have preferred to stay with HBO, but, you know, sometimes, you know, the unexpected may end up being better. So let's see what Epix does before we all go crazy. I do think it kind of figures that we've had this kind of big event in DC and then they have to switch things up. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens.
What about you, Brendan? Do you know of Epix? Have you heard about that before the NHL stuff?
No, to be quite honest, I was pretty much comparing Epix to CSN DC Plus, you know, essentially like the mysterious channel that's out there somewhere that's showing something that I want to see. But I, I'm not sure really what kind of transpired with the NHL and HBO, but it could all come down to just dollars and cents and Epic stepping up to be the next guy in line to want to do a documentary. What I do find interesting is in the press release, it did say it was a two-part series, not a four-part, which I think was a little weird. And we're also not getting exclusive content for the Winter Classic. We're also getting a stadium series out on the West Coast mixed in with this whole thing. So it loses its personality of 24/7. I don't know. It's a mixed bag for me. I hope it's actually 2 hours an episode, not one, just to make up for time. They're not probably going to do that, but I really think they need to make up for the lost content that they're losing with dropping HBO.
Yeah, I think Epics, you're still allowed to be uncensored, because I don't think it's even a cable provider. It might be a cable channel. It seems like it's more of a streaming service. So if you were the NHL, you know, I would think you'd want to team up with somebody like Netflix, which has already got a built-in audience right there. I only know Epics because Kevin Smith did a stand-up special with them like 4 years ago, but I haven't really heard anything since then about them. It's not a channel on my cable provider. I don't know. It's interesting to see what happens. It could be a good thing where it's like, hey, maybe hockey fans will subscribe to us now after this happens, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's a good show. And I want to see Patrick Kane more than anything uncensored to see what that guy's really like.
Oh my God.
So we'll see what happens there, but let's talk about these Winter Classic jerseys. Coach, you've already alluded that you are not a fan. So let's start off with you. What don't you like?
The jersey itself.
You don't like any part of it?
To be honest, I was really looking forward to the red jerseys. I know it would have been not necessarily repetitive because of the whites. Essentially, it's the same thing they wore in the game against Pittsburgh. But I really like those old red jerseys, and I really think that would have been a really cool thing for them to do. And I read the story on the website, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess it makes a little more sense. It just – a friend of mine, Amanda, who we've had on the show a couple of times before, she made the point that it looks like an old-school football jersey. Mm. And if you look at it, it kind of does. Like, the white stripes on the shoulders just look silly. You know, I don't know. The whole thing just looks silly to me. I think it was just a missed opportunity. And it's one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised, because I think a lot of the other teams have done this where they take their Winter Classic jersey and then use it as like their third jersey.
Right.
And it makes sense being the red one, because the whole rock the red thing, and they do red the red shirts at home. But, you know, I would have really liked the old school red ones. I really think that would look cool to be on the ice in Nats Park.
What about you, Brendan? What you got to see him firsthand live in person. So was it were you expecting this backlash, or do you think they kind of
am I wrong?
Do they need to be seen in person?
To be quite honest, I wanted to ransack one of the guys and take it off their back and run away with it on. Just because it's an interesting kind of take on something. But here we are, Capitals 40th anniversary, 1974. You're not getting this retro feel. I feel like with hockey, it's as much of a sacred sport as you can get to me. Mm-hmm. I know baseball is a sacred sport, all in its own little bubble, but I don't think you really kind of mix an ECHL team, an EHL team, an AHL team that were in DC at one point, and then throw it into what we see on this jersey. The biggest thing that does bother me is the W has a really kind of stretched out Washington Monument homage to it. I think that's a bit rushed. I'm a graphic design major, so not to sound snooty here, but I think that was, if we were to critique this thing in an art school kind of way, that piece right there is probably the biggest little sore thumb for me. But overall, I'm still going to buy a jersey. I'm going to get a Kolzig custom jersey. Nice. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to, not regret it.
I hope not. I think out of everybody here, I'm probably the one that's the fan of it. I like new styles. I kind of like the fact that it does look somewhat modern, but also giving it that retro feel. My one thing is, though, I think it's got way too much going on with the stars and the stripes on the shoulders, and then you got the stripes, you know, across the stomach, and then you got the logo. I like the big W and the stars, and I think Brendan on Caps Hill's Twitter account, you guys retweeted tweeted somebody who kind of simplified it. It was just a white W with white stars above it. I think that would have looked really nice. And if I would have just taken those stripes and put two on the sleeves to kind of match what's going on across the stomach, and then put the stars on the shoulders, because I feel as if we got way too much going on this jersey. It's a lot to look at. But like you said, NHL knows their fans. They'll just buy whatever they give them. And I'll probably be buying a jersey as well.
Yeah, so the stripes is an homage to the Washington Eagles, mm-hmm. Which I guess were around in the 30s and 40s. So it is an interesting kind of paying a tribute to that. The big W on the front, unlike people are saying it's a Senators kind of homage, it's to another minor league team that was in D.C. So I don't know. It's kind of a cool little nod. Like you said, there is a lot going on. I don't know. I'm right in the middle of it all.
What about that shade of red? You know, we've been very bright here in D.C. Do you feel like that kind of maybe a little bit muted, more of a maroon type of red? Do you think that kind of works?
I do like it. It's definitely a vintage kind of tone. Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about tones of colors here.
Last time we talked about dry cleaning on the last episode, so might as well talk about tone here.
Well, yeah, I mean, whenever I look at the W, I think to the Vancouver Millionaires jersey that they rolled out for the Heritage Classic a few years ago. But that was a jersey that they used back in the 20s, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
It was kind of that maroonish look. And I think that maroon that you see here is departing away from this orange-red that we're looking at whenever we rock the red, or really rocking like an orange-red. But I know that I'm splitting hairs on it, but I don't know. I think it's an interesting direction that would work as a third jersey. I'm not sure if you go red for a third jersey. I would rather see a black Screaming Eagle kind of deal. But I don't know. It's cool that they grew some and they went towards a different direction.
Yeah, as much as Dan wants those old red ones back, I agree with him. That would look sweet, but I kind of like the fact that they were being adventurous, because if you do look at that jersey, I mean, there's nothing in the NHL really right now that looks like that jersey we're going to be wearing on January 1. So I'm excited to see it, and you got to see it firsthand, you know, seeing those three guys modeling it there for you. So really cool. And anything else we should ask you that you got to experience that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, when Vincent Gray was talking, talk about some awkward silence going on. I don't know if you saw.
I heard he made a comment or something along those lines, and people were like, "Huh, what?" kind of a thing.
Yeah. He made a few kind of comments where I didn't really register him in my mind, but just knowing it coming from him and all of the political kind of things that are going on, it added some underlying tones to it. Oh, yeah. He said, I'm as homey as you get in D.C. or something along those lines.
Yeah. That's the one where everyone was like, what?
That was his first. That was the first line he said in while he was at the podium. I'm like, okay. All right. but yeah, that was pretty much the biggest kind of weird moment that stood out during that day.
Gotcha. All right,
it was
man.
Beautiful, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, seeing it online, I mean, just it looked like a perfect day to watch a ball game. But to see those guys there talking about hockey means, you know, hockey's getting closer and closer. So that's what we're all excited about. Brendan from Capsule.com, thank you so much for talking with us today, man.
Great to be on. Thanks, guys.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, thanks again to Brendan Sheridan from Capsule.com for calling in, talking to us about that press conference for the Winter Classic. Check out all those photos that he took at the press conference of all the different seating locations and what the rink would look like over at Capsule.com. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. We're not going to go around the NHL or down on the farm because really there's nothing going on to really talk about. So we're going to stay Cap-centric this episode. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Talk to me at Brando Cash and Coach Dan. He's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, What about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. That's where you get information about What the Puck and all the other podcasts produced by Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there, and you'll get notified whenever a new episode drops of any of the podcast. You can also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. We're always asking people questions, hoping you'll talk to us on Facebook. And we are on Twitter. The show is on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now, this is where I'm going to ask you guys for some help. We've talked about it before. You know the spiel. This show is free. You download it for free. You listen to the show for free. You stream it for free because we are available in 4 different places. You know, or technically 5 if you count our own homepage. But we have iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, CapsHill.com, and WhatTheFuckCaps.BrandoCash.com. Now, we do this show for free. You guys download it for free. It's 2014. What can you get for free anymore in this world? We are talking Caps for free. All right? So you got to help us out. We want to get bigger and better than ever before. We want to reach more Caps fans. We want more people in the D.C., Baltimore area to get into hockey, okay? So let people know. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. You are a Caps fan. You listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. We still got 2 more weeks of preseason games, 2 more weeks of training camp, and then we'll be into the regular season. But it doesn't matter because we're all Caps fans here. It could be preseason, it could be postseason, it could be regular season. We are all together screaming, "Let's go, Caps!"
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.